Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back. I'm thrilled to once again be joined by Professor David Schultz, who is a constitutional expert and professor at Hamline University. We call on him when we have complex issues like this to help shake it all out. Professor Schultz, I'm so glad to have you back on the show.
My pleasure, Jordana, and thank you to the audience.
So what were you more surprised about, the leak or the fact that the Supreme Court may be overturning Roe v. Wade?
I was more surprised by the leak because I cannot think of a situation in recent history where we've had a Supreme Court opinion leaked out like it. They usually guard this, you know, like Fort Knox, and it never comes out. So that I wasn't surprised by, although I am still interested in who leaked it and what their motive was. So it's the leak that was the bigger surprise. In terms of what the decision looks like, for those of us who have been following the Supreme Court for a while, this looked like an entirely predictable decision. In fact, as I was reading it, I was through the opinion on Monday night, I was looking at it saying, yep, these are all the cases that I would cite. These are all the arguments that I would make if I were going to overturn Roe. So we've known, we've got five, if not six, justices on the court that have expressed concern regarding Roe versus Wade, who've said that what? They're not sure that the Constitution protects a right to abortion. And so on that score, was not surprised by the content of the actual opinion itself.
So you feel that Justice Alito's citations and his reasoning behind wanting to reverse it is legitimate and can go forward due to his citations and legally can move forward, you know, with proper channels?
How I would describe it is that they've got the five votes to do it. Now, whether I personally agree with the decision is a different story entirely, but they framed it in the way that I thought the conservatives on the court would have framed the decision, in terms of saying that what? They don't believe that the Constitution protects a right to privacy that expands far enough to protect abortion. Two, I thought they were going to say that the issue of abortion rights should be left up to the state legislatures to decide. And three, I was pretty convinced they were going to say that going forward, they would give states a lot of leeway to do what they wanted to do. So from that perspective, what Alito's opinion did was entirely predictable, given the way that the conservatives on the court have been approaching the issue.
Those who dissent, who disagree with overturning Roe, say that this could also lead to the overturning of gay marriage, to the overturning of cases regarding women's rights to certain contraception. Is there any link there? Is that a legitimate argument?
That's a legitimate concern. The foundation of Roe versus Wade rests on a series of previous cases before it that dealt with, for example, married couples and single couples' right to use birth control. They dealt with antecedents in terms of what the right to marry, right of parents to be able to raise their children or send them to public or private school if they wanted. So there's a whole foundation of cases upon which Roe is based. And even though Alito tried to say, well, listen, abortion's different because it involves a fetal life, that argument's not persuasive the way he sketched it out here. And this opinion really is set up in a way that it could endanger those others' rights, because how I was describing it to my students, think of the right to privacy as a bucket. And what I mean by that, think of how the court has said, even though there's nothing written in the Constitution explicitly that says there's a right to privacy, they've used a series of cases to construct it. And now I said to my students, what goes into the bucket of privacy? What goes in there is what? Until this decision comes out, a right to terminate a pregnancy, a right to birth control, a right to marry, a right to raise a family, et cetera, et cetera. Well, this now starts to like pull like a thread. Like think of like a thread that you pull on a hemline. You start to pull it and the whole thing comes out. This is the beginning of pulling of a thread line. And there's nothing that says here that once you started to erode on reproductive rights, abortion rights, why you can't apply the same logic to a whole host of other issues, again, such as gay marriage, right to marriage in general, a whole bunch of other issues, also including contraception rights.
Mm-hmm. Would the right to privacy then go as far as things like the Patriot Act and our cell phone lines or our internet? Could that be also challenged?
Well, that's interesting because we supposedly have some body of law out there that deals with privacy and, let's say, search warrants. You know that's actually written in the Fourth Amendment, but it's not so clear that given this decision that it couldn't use this decision to reverse some of those most fundamental rights that we, you know, that they've constructed over time. And that's the important thing to think about here is that, you know, there's a thing called the Ninth Amendment. The Ninth Amendment says that other rights not listed here are reserved to the people in the states. And what the Ninth Amendment has, the few times it's been used, been interpreted for, is to say, listen, maybe the framers didn't get all the rights written down, but there may be other rights that are out there. And that's the right to privacy. It's one of them. And think about, as I say to my students, think of the Constitution as the first chapter of a novel. The framers wrote the first chapter. American history, subsequent courts have written additional chapters. Generally, we've never seen a situation where once a chapter has been written, once a right has been created, the court has taken it away. And if this is the final opinion, if this is basically reflects the final opinion, this will be the first time in history where the Supreme Court has reversed itself and done so in a way to take away rights from individuals. That's just totally unprecedented in American history.
Why are they doing it now?
Why are they doing it now? It's been since Roe versus Wade was decided in 1973. We've had several presidents who have said they want to appoint justices to reverse Roe. There's been a tremendous political mobilization by many groups to try to do this. And what's happened is a 50-year effort to reverse Roe by putting justices, or I'll say stacking the court, by mobilizing groups, by bringing test cases, is going to about to pay off. The model for this, I was telling this again to my students, the model for what they're doing is what the NAACP did 150 years ago when the Supreme Court in 1896 issued a decision that said that separate but equal, that segregation was okay. The NAACP undertook a 60-year campaign to reverse that culminated in Brown versus the Board of Education. They wrote the textbook literally on how to politically mobilize and use the court to move public policy. Those groups who are opposed to abortion rights, to a woman's right to make decisions, have essentially followed the same playbook. And that's what they've done. A 50-year mobilization, presidents who have said they are committed to overturning Roe, they've got 5, if not 6 votes on the court at this point to be able to do what they want to do.
But Brown versus Board of Education also reflected the current climate and the will of the people at the time. This, according to polls, does not necessarily reflect the will of the people. Even a Fox News poll has about 68% of Americans supporting Roe v. Wade. In your opinion and your analysis, should the courts be reflecting the climate of the times, or should they just be sticking to whatever's in the Constitution?
I think they should be reflecting in part the climate of the times, so long as that climate of the times is supporting, I think, the basic values of the Constitution and principles of what? Protecting individual rights. And the reason why I mention that is that why all of us think that Plessy versus Ferguson, the case from 1896 that said separate but equal or segregation is okay, is that it did reflect the sentiment of the times, an incredibly racist set of views. And thankfully, the court said over time, you know, we don't want to support those kind of views. And so I don't always want to say that the court should knee-jerk respect or reflect simple populist opinions. What it needs to reflect, I'm going to say, it's kind of a deeper, let's say, political morality that respects individual rights. And again, I come back to what I said before. This is an opinion that is now, at the end of the day, saying we're going to take rights away from people. And the way, I've been describing it to my students is that what this opinion says is that, guess what? State legislatures get to decide what women get to do with their bodies. And I don't know about you, that's a scary thought. On any score, that a majority vote, election returns get to decide, you know, what I get to do with my body. That's what this decision is going to say.
It's scary for you. It's terrifying for me. I have a uterus. I have daughters who have uteruses. Oh, for sure. It's terrifying. It's abhorrent. I couldn't be more upset about this. I get it. It's frightening that somebody gets to say what I get to do with my body. I'm blown away. This is why we're delving into this. Let's just bring it down to Minnesota, because here our listeners are in Minnesota. The governor has said, not on my watch. Tina Smith said this is BS. Amy Klobuchar has been outspoken against this. What will happen in Minnesota?
Well, in 1990s, there was a Minnesota Supreme Court decision called the Women of Minnesota versus Gomez. And the Minnesota Supreme Court ruled that the Minnesota Constitution protects the right of women to terminate a pregnancy, effectively a state version of Roe. No matter what this opinion does, at least for now, what this opinion does will not affect reproductive rights in Minnesota, because the U.S. Supreme Court can't overrule the Minnesota Supreme Court on our own constitution. So for now, okay, but imagine a different scenario now. Imagine, let's say, a new Congress gets elected and a different president gets elected, and nothing in this opinion that the court may release would prevent Congress from what? Making abortion or banning abortion or criminalizing under federal law. So there is still work concern to have out there in terms of what could happen.
Well, I'm glad I live in Minnesota, at least with the current leadership that we have right now. Let me ask you one more question, and I'm speaking with Professor David Schultz, professor of political science and constitutional law expert at Hamline University. Professor, I was listening to Susan Collins. I was listening to Susan Collins from a while ago during the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation hearings, and she said she kept asking him about what he would do with Roe. And he said in his statements that he would uphold Roe. And she said afterward that she was voting to confirm him. She was the deciding vote. She was voting to confirm him because she was satisfied that he would uphold Roe. Do you think would-be justices should have to say how they're going to rule? And in your perspective, did Brett Kavanaugh lie during those confirmation hearings?
Well, I can see the argument where a justice would say that, listen, since I'm supposed to rule on how the facts of a case apply to the law, they could say, well, listen, you know, I can't tell you exactly how I would rule in a particular fact pattern, but can they say at some point that, yeah, they support certain precedents or they support certain principles of the law? I mean, I would hope at the end of the day, if a justice were asked the question, do you think separate but equal is wrong? Do you as a justice guarantee us that you will not uphold segregation? I think that's a legitimate question, and I think justices should be able to say that. And if they're not willing to commit on those things, remember, the Senate doesn't have to confirm. And so here we have a situation where I don't know what the exact quote is of what Collins asked at Kavanaugh, you know, but there is a certain amount of of, I'm going to say, disingenuity in terms of some of these people who have been testifying before the Senate for their confirmation hearings, where they figured out ways of parsing their answers and not coming out and directly saying, yes, I support a woman's right to terminate a pregnancy. What they will say, and I know Amy Comey Barrett said it, she said, yes, Roe is currently the precedent right now, but they've never committed themselves to saying, I won't overturn that precedent.
Professor, I so appreciate your time and your expertise. We will continue this conversation in coming weeks, and we hope to have you back on. Professor David Schultz from Hamline, thank you so much for the time.
My pleasure, Jordana.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.